Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again with another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, we will kind of conclude our season preview positional series with the offensive linemen. And it's a group that is as deep as any offensive line unit that I can remember in major college football. It is a group that, on the whole, is relatively young, although you do have some pretty significant places of experience found along the line. But it's a talented group. It's to look at the type of body transformation and the type of just size that they brought in over the past 2 to 3 years is pretty remarkable. There was a decent Kirby Smart quote a couple days ago that you lift for strength, you recruit for size, and they've certainly transformed the size of the player along the offensive line. And what, 19, 20 kids on the offensive line, only one that's not listed north of 300 pounds. It's an impressive unit.
And Ingram, they've done so, in my opinion, without sacrificing athleticism. You know, that's always been a big-time Rick Tricker thing. We want to have athletes on the offensive line. We want to be able to run a variety of different schemes. And they've had consistently, you know, impressive offensive line play under Rick Tricker. There's a reason why he gets paid so much and why he's pretty universally regarded as one of the best offensive line coaches in college football. Ingram, I want you to go away from that tab that I know you have open on your computer because we discussed this before we did the show. Tell me when you clicked off and you clicked on something different now.
Okay. Done that.
How many offensive linemen can you name from Florida State?
Man, this is a conversation we had within the past 2 months or so. I'm confident I could get to 17 or 18. Obviously, look, if you gave me 10 minutes, I could get all of them. But I am not willing to sit here and tell you that I would rattle off 20 in a smooth, kind of repetitive, constant manner.
You know, there's 19.
Like, well, I guess I was given Mavetti before we had to take him off the list, but yeah.
Fair enough. Dude, when's the last time Florida State had 19 offensive linemen on scholarship in the program? You might have to go back seriously to the days back when you had more than 85 scholarships to give. Mm-hmm. In the 85 scholarship era, so about the last two decades or so, I don't think you've had it, right? I this is phenomenal depth. You only have one senior on the entire offensive line roster, and that's Kareem Marr. Certainly you have a guy who we'll talk about in a minute who may be leaving early if he has the year he wants, but this has got all the makings of a group that is going to just be consistently excellent for several years in a row, in my opinion. Where do you want to start talking about this? And there's so many different angles on this for offensive line, which is normally a very boring position.
A lot of different angles and a couple of good questions to ask beyond just the, you know, who's going to start here and there. But once we do get our starting five, you think there's a pretty consistency with what you'll see? Do you see any rotation within this unit kind of as the year goes? Now, look, you're going to have attrition. You're going to have injuries. That's not really what I'm asking as much as you see them being kind of loose with some of the pieces that they have at their disposal.
It's an interesting question, and most of the time, Rick Tricker does not like to rotate his offensive linemen. I think he's a coach who values continuity and teamwork on the offensive line. And yet, I think at times, if there's not a big gap between one guy and another, and he still wants to evaluate both the guys in a game situation, he may end up rotating them, especially if he doesn't see much downside to flipping them out. So, Ingram, I don't think Rod Johnson is going to do a whole lot of rotating. He will probably, you know, if he stays healthy, he's probably a 900 snap guy.
Yeah, Rod is the piece that we probably need to start working the conversation around. He's as much as the known entity as there is on that line.
Yeah, so a guy who's what, 6'7", 310 plus pounds, elite level athleticism, great length, really a guy who was at the midpoint of the 2014 season rather plug and play. He was the reason they were able to move Cam Irving to center there in the game against Miami and the rest of the season. And that move, in large part, propelled Florida State to the college football playoff, where, yeah, it did get trounced, but it was a move they needed to make, and it paid big-time dividends. Now, I don't think Rod Johnson was quite as good as some in the national media think he was last year, but he wasn't bad either. Like, I just think that there's this interesting gap to me between what the national media thought he was, which is like the most awesome offensive tackle in college football who was not an upperclassman, and what some Florida State fans think he was, which was just not that great. And we've talked about this in the past with how myopic fans are about the offensive line and how everybody thinks their offensive line sucks, right? Bruce Feldman puts out his article about offensive linemen and which teams have the best offensive line groups, and it's got like Clemson 1, Bama 2. And yet you see Clemson and Bama fans be like, no way, we do not have a good offensive line. That is the biggest question mark on our team. So that some fans were kind of like that last year with Rod Johnson. I think that the reason why some FSU fans were disappointed was that he didn't take quite the step that many, including us, projected him to take. But he's still an absolute rock there at left tackle. I know he made 2015 first team All-ACC, 18 career starts under his belt. If he takes another step like he did last year, which was a decent step, but it wasn't a great step. If he just takes another decent step, I think he's locked up his NFL status. If he takes a sizable step, I think he's going to have an excellent chance of leaving early and going to the NFL. A bright kid, a guy who, is kind of quiet at times and is not really a big-time vocal leader, but one of the coach's favorites and a guy that just is one of the dudes you can legitimately count on doing the right thing on the field and off the field, and a big-time player for this program.
Yeah, big-time piece for the 2016 season, and a guy that if Florida State's going to be able to reach the highest levels, you'll have to see a pretty big jump between what you got out of him during times of the 2015 season. Ton of talent at times, just maybe you'd like to see him a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more mean, but a guy that if he develops into his potential is a huge piece in this offense reaching its capability or reaching its highest point of production.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that he has to play more consistently to his top level. And I love the length and athleticism combination that Florida State has at the offensive tackle position. I really believe that when you take Rod Johnson and you take 6'7", 305-pound Rick Leonard, who I now project is going to start at right tackle, because I'm not convinced Derek Kelly is totally 100% after his knee injury last year. He's still wearing the big brace. He's working more inside. We'll talk about that in a minute. Their move of moving, and shocking here, Jimbo Fisher made a position move. It looks like it's going to work out really well, right? We've seen this movie about 10 or 12 times, and it's always a blockbuster. Rick Leonard has elite-level athleticism at that right tackle spot as well. Now, I don't know if he has elite-level power yet, but, man, Florida State is a team traditionally under Rick Trickett. If they have the ability to control the edges and run that outside zone like they like to do and utilize a back like Dalvin Cook, who's a strong cutback runner after the defense has been all spread out, they're going to do that, and they're going to do that like crazy this year because you got length and athleticism, and a lot of these teams, if you run outside zone and the teams have these quick edge defenders, the way they blow you up sometimes is that they're able to kind of jump around blocks, but it's really hard to jump around a block of somebody who's 6'7" with great athleticism. It's easier to jump around a more prototypical right tackle who's maybe 6'4 and a half, 330, and kind of just a road grader mauler type. Florida State has true left tackle types at the tackle positions this year with really top-level athleticism. And I think that's going to be very problematic for some defenses because you want to if you put somebody out there who's just real strong against those guys, I think they could have the footwork and the quickness to really deal with them and to pin them and get the edge. But if you put somebody who's just super quick out there on the defensive line against them, they may have the footwork to run with that guy as well and just wash him past the play. That's cool. We'll just cut the ball up underneath you and go like that. Ain't no problems doing that. And you combine that with with Ryan Izzo, who's 6'5", at the tight end spot and a very, very strong blocker when he's healthy. Ingram, I think that's really going to give teams fits on the edges. And by the way, you combine that with Dalvin Cook and a senior fullback in Freddie Stevenson.
Right. Yeah. No, you really have the pieces there to make you think you might be able to run wide and to be able to really control the point of attack with what you have as far as length and some of the flexibility that you have at the tackle and particularly combined with experience at tight end as well. So something that that we'll talk more about. But yeah, when you look at the tackles, that is one of the first things that really jump out at you.
Now, I think from a pass protection standpoint, Leonard scares me a little bit, right? He's extremely raw. I don't think he has great technique yet, and nor should he be expected to. I mean, he literally has one spring football season of offensive line play under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he has the natural ability to become a very good offensive lineman. However, I think he's going to get beat in pass protection some just because he's raw. It's going to happen. Luckily for him, he does have a couple things going for him. First, he is very aggressive. Watch his spring game. Watch any sort of clips you get to see him in practice, or if you know somebody who gets to watch practice, ask them. Rick Leonard is not shy. He will put his face in there. Now, he may not have the most power at anybody, but he's a junior. He's not some freshman, and he does have that sort of, and I hate this term because it's overapplied, but he does kind of have that defensive lineman mentality about him with very much aggressive, keeps the feet moving, wants to achieve a roach block or a pancake, what have you. With a guy like that, I feel like one way that you can really help him and protect him is by running the football a lot, but also throwing the ball off play action a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Leonard's going to come off the ball with so much aggressiveness that it's really going to give the defensive end the look that, hey, this is a run play. And that'll buy Leonard some time to get his feet set up and buy the quarterback, DeAndre Francois, some more time to get the ball off. That's how you protect an athletic, aggressive, but very raw offensive tackle, in my opinion.
Be interesting to see if a really interesting move if you can move that guy straight into right tackle, have him jump into a starter spot. Says a lot about what you think the final product may look like there. And Bud, if it does in fact impact what the what your lineup at guard may look like, why don't we go ahead and take a look real quickly on the interior. I know you talked a little bit about the fact that Kelly continues to work inside. Wilson Bell's a guy at right guard that we've talked a lot about. Obviously, R.A. Is, for all intents and purposes, will likely be your starting left guard. But as we kind of look on the inside, what are some of the names that that ultimately, in your opinion, may end up taking the first snap at right guard for Florida State?
Man, I got to tell you that I do not know who's going to take the first snap at right guard, but it is probably the most contested position on Florida State's roster right now because you have Wilson Bell, who wasn't great last year. He wasn't terrible. He just wasn't great. He's a junior, 6'5", 320. As of Sunday night, he was actually being held out of practice a little bit with some concussion-like symptoms, but he is by no means a guaranteed starter at this spot. On the other guard spot, I think Kareem Marr certainly is, but you have several guys here. Derek Kelly has been taking a lot of snaps at the guard position, and they think he offers the versatility to play inside or to play out. I still think he's going to be one of the primary backups at right tackle if indeed Leonard does what we project and beats him out. But Kelly could easily win that job. 320 is not bad size inside either. I know Mike Arnold's been taking some guard and tackle snaps. I don't think he's going to win the job. The two guys that I'm really looking for to watch, aside from Derek Kelly, are two youngsters, man. Cole Minshew, the right guard. Now, I know at one point he got down in the 330s in weight, which I from what I understand, Florida State was a lot happier at. Looks like he showed up to camp a little bit heavier than maybe they would like, but he's a guy who's always been able to play to play better than you would expect, I'll say, at a heavier weight. So even if he's closer to 345, 350-ish, I still think he can do that, and he'll probably drop some weight during camp. But a guy with tremendous natural power. I mean, just the pop he delivers is nuts. Now, last year he struggled with, I believe, concussions, and he also had a couple other injuries. And he was a player, you and I were hearing last year, that was actually going to play as a true freshman, which is pretty rare under Rick Trickett, except in certain situations. Minshew was going to play just because he was going to earn a spot, we thought. Mm-hmm. But got hurt, put on some bad weight, and just never really could put it together last year. I think he's certainly going to be in the mix for that starting job. And if he doesn't win it, think about this. You're going to have a guy that looks like Cole Minshew with that kind of power as a backup. That really speaks to the great depth this team has, especially on the interior. I know we'll talk about exterior depth to close the show. The other guy, though, man, we got to talk about this guy. Woo! Dickerson.
Landon.
He just looks like something different.
Now, did some tricep extensions over the summer or something. That's a kid who had an off season. Damn,
he looks like he must have finished up the Eagle Scout project and then got on the tricep extension machine, just like you said there, dude. Maybe some close grip bench. He looks enormous. Now, Florida State lists him at 6'5", 310. Is there really 30-something pounds difference between him and Minshew? Maybe. Dickerson is a lot more trim. But, man, he is a nasty blocker. Great, just mean streak in him. I know a lot of recruiting services had him as a tackle. You and I question that just because we're not sure he necessarily had the length to play tackle. Oh, he could perhaps play right tackle. The length thing is not quite the issue that it is in college, that it is in the NFL. But, man, Dickerson, I think, has a legitimate shot to win this job as well. He's certainly not a guy that I think is going to redshirt. I think he's already one of Florida State's, 8 or 9 best offensive linemen on this team. And man, Rick Trickett said today this was the best freshman offensive line class he's ever had already.
Normally just throw hyperbole out there.
No, not at all.
That's impressive.
He's over the moon about this. I think that he really believes they have a number of hits in this offensive line class already. So at right guard, man, you got a 4-way battle. Wilson Bell, Derek Kelly, Cole Minshew, Landon Dickerson. Whoever comes out of that group, I'm going to sit here today and tell you I'm extremely confident whoever comes out of that group is going to have an excellent season, assuming they stay healthy, because that means you beat out 3 other guys who are somewhere between not terrible and pretty good. Right? That's high praise if you win a 4-way battle.
Absolutely. Yeah, particularly, you're right. Bell's not fantastic, and there were certainly times last year that he was a source of frustration. But he's not a massive liability either. So Bell gives you maybe a little bit of a quantity of the known that you wouldn't otherwise have from that group.
Exactly, and I mean, assuming that Bell is not just like the number 2 in that group, if somebody else beats him out, assuming he's maybe 3 or 4, that really speaks to the quality of depth you have there, and potentially the quality of the player that you're going to have starting. I think whoever starts in, I think right guard is going to be a strength for this team.
Yeah, that would be a big step in the right direction as well. Look, on the most part, you feel pretty confident about this line. You certainly got enough numbers to throw bodies at any kind of problems that you may have. At the same time, there's still a couple areas that you have to kind of scratch your head and be a little bit leery about when it comes to depth.
Yeah, I think that area, for the most part, is tackle, right? I love what they have at guard and at center, Ingerman. I'll just speak real briefly on center. You have Alec Eberle coming back. I think he didn't have a good year objectively, but subjectively, when you consider he was just a redshirt freshman last year, I think you have to like what you have in Alec Eberle. Now he's a redshirt sophomore. Put on about 8-10 pounds in the offseason, does look noticeably bigger, is a guy that Rick Trickett likes. He knows how to make the calls. And yet, I think from a talent standpoint, he's going to be pushed by a guy eventually like a Bavion Johnson, who, you know, the number one rated center in the country. Not quite a 5-star, because centers rarely are, but at one point he was 6'3", 340. You remember he told us on that video interview I shot with him about how Rick Trickett would probably not be very happy with 340 pounds, right? And indeed, he was right. Rick Trickett, not too happy when he saw that Bavion had weighed in 340 pounds at the opening. But you know what he showed up at?
High three teens. Is that
right?
Yeah.
Look at that. He is Bavion Johnson. A source informed us under 320 pounds. That is a big time weight loss for a kid that needed to drop a little bit of the baby fat there.
And it's been some of that baked chicken his mom was transitioning him over to.
Yeah. He's getting the baked chicken now. That to me shows a commitment and a maturity level that he was able to drop that weight. And that's going to allow him to play more snaps, right? And not have to take a breather and play more quality snaps as opposed to just worrying about getting through the practice. Now he can worry about actually playing well in the practice. Behind him, you know, behind Everly and potentially behind Bavion, you got Corey Martinez, a fellow redshirt sophomore who's continued to put on some good weight. Now he's closer to 300 pounds. I mean, 6'4", 297 they got him listed at. That's probably accurate. And then David Robbins is a guy I also think could get a look at center. And as a player, just a redshirt freshman, I thought he had a strong spring game. I know the Florida State coaches are still very high on David Robbins, who's actually who's young for his age too, and is continuing to mature. I think he's a player who eventually is going to start for Florida State, especially as an upperclassman. The depth they have on the interior is really quite nice. But
did they put Baselli's son at center as well, or where is he?
They did. Now, I think he's going to redshirt, but he is listed at center.
Okay.
And I think Robbins is primarily a guard, but I think he's probably one of the emergency three or four center type spot. Tackle is a little bit scary depth wise, right? Because we don't really know what we have in Derek Kelly. You know, I thought for a redshirt freshman, he wasn't terrible last year out there. He had some moments and he had some really bad moments too, especially when he was injured. Brock Rubel is a guy that I think we were always kind of like, yeah, I think eventually he could be really good. Now, the problem is, Florida State, due to some depth issues, ended up having to play him very early. Now, he has put on some good weight. Looks like maybe his coordination has continued to improve, maybe take another step. I know he's been getting a number of reps there. He looks like your number one candidate as far as your top reserve at tackle. And you have to kind of hope that he's able to do that and able to take the next step, because behind him, I don't know who you like at tackle, Ingram. Ethan Frith is a guy who I think we always thought, if he was going to contribute, would do so as more of an upperclassman type, and he's just a redshirt sophomore. I don't think he's there yet. Other than that, man, I mean, Abdul Bello, extremely raw coming out of Nigeria, has played very little football and actually tore his ACL last year, so his redshirt freshman year was kind of a lost year as he rehabbed that injury and is just now learning how to play the game of football. Obviously, if he regains all that athleticism that led Florida State to offer him in the first place, you could see him make an impact down the line. But I don't know if you really trust Abdul Bello right now. I think if Rod Johnson or Rick Leonard were to get injured, you would see you would see Leonard slide over to left tackle and probably play Rubel at right tackle. But I don't think that your depth at tackle is anywhere near what it is at guard or center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, tackle's where you could start to get concerned pretty quickly if you have any type of concentrated injuries at all. And the idea of even just what you floated out there is moving a guy who's otherwise only been at the position for 5 months from right tackle to left tackle is a daunting idea, but it may very well be the best of a bad option at that time. If Florida State fans need to hope for health anywhere, and that's kind of goes against what happens in football in generally normally, but if they could have a long continued run of health at the tackle position in particular would go a long way to giving the offense as much consistency as you could get from this unit.
Dude, I completely agree with you there. And I got to say, man, if there's any coach on this staff that I'm confident in getting the most out of what he has, it's Rick Trickett. Yeah. You know, he has made chicken salad several times.
I was laughing about this. What was the kid out of Aquinas that we started at tackle? Was like 264 pounds.
Andrew Dacko.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Thank you. Andrew... Andrew, no shoulders by the end of his time here at Datco. But yeah, that is a great example of what Trickett could do when given less than ideal pieces. And honestly, by the end of his freshman year, kid was a decent offensive tackle. So yeah, the pieces and the product that he's working with, a little bit higher grade than that. But yeah, Trickett, if anybody has the ability to put a shine on a product, at least for a game or two, and kind of get you through a situation that you wouldn't otherwise want to experience again.
And with him, I think part the ability for him to threaten the loss of playing time for some of these guys and actually be able to follow through on it because he has the depth this year, that works with any coach. But I think that particularly makes Trickett all that more effective, because if there's one thing he hates, it's a guy who knows that Trickett can't bench him, you know, because there's the talent behind him isn't there. And I don't think that any guy out there can really sit and rest on their laurels, right? Unless you're like Rod Johnson, who I don't think will anyway.
Right.
But that's – I'm optimistic about this position. Now, we spoke about receivers. I think that the offensive line has a higher ceiling than what the receiver group has. It also potentially has a lower floor just because of how experienced the receiver group is. You know, Florida State has a ton of bodies at offensive line. How many of them have actually started more than five games in their career, though?
How many have started more than five?
Five or more. The count is six. Rubel, Everly, Hofeld, actually, who's one of the backup centers we didn't even mention.
Right.
Kareem Arra, Wilson Bell, Rod Johnson. You know, that's not that many.
Has Brock gotten five starts?
Yeah, Brock's got five.
Okay.
So guys who have started actually a half season or more, just four. Hofeld, Arra, Bell, and Rod Johnson. So that's not that many, man. Which speaks to, I think, how good this unit can be in 2017 and even in 2018, right? But I do think it's going to be a strength of this team this year, provided that the tackles stay healthy.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a good looking unit. Certainly a unit with a lot of different pieces. Feel pretty comfortable with what you have at left tackle. Feel pretty comfortable with what you have at left guard. And really, you need to use the other 17 spots or so to fill in those three places, and then to provide depth in case of injury. But yeah, you're right. And what we just discussed, if you can stay healthy at tackle, then you can get a really high level of play out of this unit. And I think there's legitimate and honest reason for optimism as far as what your offensive line is going to look like this year and next year and the year following. So great pieces here. A lot of them are real young. A lot of them are going to be around the program for a long time, but you should be more than adequate as far as what you can do with the offensive line to get as much as you can out of this offense this year.
So one other thing I want to talk about, I like the versatility that this line presents, right? You know, you have a guy in Everly who wins more with technique and quickness. And then it looks like you could have two serious maulers at guard. You know, Kareem Arra, who we didn't even really talk about a whole lot tonight, but because he's got his starting spot, we think pretty much locked down at 6'6" and 334 pounds, and you hope he can stay healthy. Him and Minshew, or him and Dickerson, or him and Kelly, or even if Bell takes another step forward and gets back from the concussion symptoms he's been suffering as of Sunday, August 14th, man, you got two really powerful types there at guard, and then you have two elite-level athletes at tackle. I think that the number of teams who have the athleticism at tackle, not necessarily the talent, because I'm sure there's teams that have a more talented pair, but the athleticism, quickness, agility, that type of stuff, I don't know if there's another team in the country that has two starters at tackle who are more athletic. That versatility there is going to create some problems for teams, because you have the size in the middle to hold up pass protection-wise, most likely, because it can't be bull rushed quite as much. And then if the offensive tackles can run those guys by the pocket, you could present a pretty nice pocket for a young quarterback in DeAndre Francois that can help you with short yardage as well. And I think you really do kind of put teams in a bind, because Florida State's offensive line is not just one way across the board. It's not just all quickness. It's not just all all size and strength. It really does have nice versatility there, and lets you present some interesting questions that an opposing defense has to answer.
Absolutely. A fair point, and something that we'll look for. Bud, anything else that you want to kind of comment on or things that stand out to you when you look at this unit and what you might see on the field in 16?
You know, I think that I'm interested to see who gets in during garbage time, right? That's kind of a cop-out answer, but, like, assuming Rod Johnson goes, I want to see how well Brock Rupel plays to know who's going to be starting in 2017 on the right tackle, right? Assuming Leonard were to switch over,
mm-hmm.
Potentially. And I want to see a guy like I want to see Bavion Johnson get in. You know, I want to see how well does he play at center. Is that potentially something that we could talk about before our 2017 season that we're going to preview? Like, hey, can second-year guy Bavion Johnson actually unseat fourth-year junior Alec Eberle at center? Who knows? I pulled up Feldman's article here. Ingram, let me ask you this. Feldman thinks that Florida State will have the sixth best offensive line in the country, number six,
mm-hmm.
Behind Clemson, LSU, Alabama, Michigan, and then surprisingly West Virginia. Do you have any thoughts on that as far as who you think will be the best?
I don't know anything about West Virginia's offensive line, to be honest with you. I would have no problem with Florida State being ranked behind any of the other four names you mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. The one other team I would throw in there that I think is very talented offensive line is actually Notre Dame. They lost Ronnie Stanley, who was a real high draft pick, but I love their interior guys. The Quentin Nelson kid, if you guys have not seen him, I think he was at a Red Bank Catholic up there in the Jersey area. That's a real name to watch. I like watching offensive line play because I feel like nobody else watches it, and we're able to talk about it on the podcast at a little bit higher level than some podcasts. This is going to be a fun year to watch, man. I really do want to see how well they work together as a unit, especially because you could have two new starters. You could even potentially have three new starters. I think two is more likely. But how do they all work together? How does Eberle grow as the center and the guy that calls out the protections and whatnot now that he has that job more than likely locked down? All these things are going to be really fun to watch.
Absolutely. A lot of things to look for, a lot of pieces that you could see moved around or see kind of emerging throughout different times of the year. And you're right. One of the real storylines of this season will be the parts and pieces that you can see and what helps us kind of project 2 to 3 years down the line as well with as many young pieces and as many pieces as you have on this roster right now that really much are very much a cause for optimism and a cause for just a really an idea that you can have a unit that's one of the better units in the country and a unit that could be one of the better units in the country for the next 3 or 4 years.
By the way, last thing here, I think that Juwan Williams will get a red shirt. I think Josh Ball will get a red shirt. I think Andrew Pacelli will get a red shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think, Ingram, if you look at this, I think Abdul Bello could actually have 5 years left. Like, he tore his ACL last year early in camp, right? So that could technically be like a medical redshirt type thing. He may still have an actual redshirt left,
yep.
Which means that we could be talking about Abdul Bello come 2020.
That's crazy.
As a sixth-year senior type. So I'm not writing him off at all. I think that there are a couple guys in this roster like him, and like Brock Rupel, who are more long-term projection types, and certainly you got to keep that in mind when you evaluate him. But I'm really excited about where this offensive line position is and where it's going.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully, I think both of us are pretty optimistic. Both of us are excited. Hopefully this conversation has been something that gave you an idea as to where that optimism stems from. Hopefully this whole season preview with a look at position by position has been something that you've been able to use as a tool and have a better idea as to what this season might look like. This is something that Bud and I guess are going to make a tradition, something that we did last year, really eager and excited to do it again this year. And hopefully you've been able to catch up on all of these. We've done one for every position group on the team and on the field. And it's just another reminder as to how close we are, and not too long before we're having actual, real conversation that takes place within the legitimate college football season. So summer has come, summer's almost gone, and within 2 weeks or so, we'll be talking about plays that matter and games that go a long way in deciding whether or not you're going to have the season that we've talked about.
Dude, we just did over half an hour of offensive line talk. I'm excited we were able to do this again and enjoyed doing it. Hope we hit the sweet spot this year as far as the right amount of time devoted to each position. We tried to focus on more of the bigger issues this year as the audience has grown, but still hit all the minute details as well. And appreciate y'all listening. Make sure to read or to rate and review us on iTunes and to share us and spread the good word about the Nolcast.